Welcome back to the Microcomp podcast. I'm your host, Rob Walling. And in this week's episode, we look at how to plan your MVP in five simple steps. This is a Microcomp tactics episode where we pull audio from one of our favorite YouTube videos on the Microcomp YouTube channel. And if you're thinking about building your MVP, we are putting the finishing touches on the best course that I've ever built. I go much deeper on this topic in the course. It's called the SaaS Launchpad. It launches in about 3 weeks. You can get on the mailing list at saaslaunchpad.co to make sure you can get all of the early bird bonuses our team is putting together. And with that, let's learn the five simple steps to planning your MVP. It's easy as an early stage founder to get lost in the process of building a minimum viable product, your MVP. You can spend weeks, if not months, building something that no one wants. So in this video, I'm gonna walk you through my five-step plan for creating your MVP. By following these steps, you can avoid wasting your time, your money, and your energy toiling away on a SaaS idea that no one is willing to pay for. And if you stick around to the end, I'll show you how I'd roll the MVP out to your launch list. And yes, you should have a launch list, while ensuring that you don't burn through the people on that list in the process. I've talked a lot about MVPs on this channel. I have a video or two dedicated to MVPs, so I'm not gonna go into why you should consider building an MVP in this video. I'm just gonna dive into the five steps. The first being to clearly define your MVP's objective. You don't wanna go in guns blazing and just start building something. Before you do that, you want to clearly define what hypothesis or hypotheses you are trying to prove or disprove by launching this MVP. And in this video, we're going to look at two example apps that we're going to walk through all five steps with. So one hypothesis might be, I'm thinking about building a CRM, but I'm going to make it cheaper and easier to use. So a hypothesis might be, will people who currently use a CRM switch to mine if it's cheaper? If it's easier to use, but maybe it only has a third of the functionality. And throughout this video, we'll call this idea Bump CRM at bumpcrm.com. Our second example is an email service provider or email marketing platform, but I'm going to say ESP, email service provider, for this video, that is focused on realtors. So the hypothesis might be, do realtors care enough about email marketing that they would sign up for an ESP that is focused specifically on their vertical? And we're going to call this one Postcard at usepostcard.com. So if we were to establish some success metrics for your MVP, so you can help decide, look, it's not hard and fast. It's not black and white. It's not, if you hit this number, you definitely are for sure validated. And if not, you're not. But what about some guidelines, some metrics, so you have an idea if you should continue to build and launch this MVP? So for Bump CRM, which is the horizontal CRM with limited feature set, your true MVP at this point is probably having conversations and getting buy-in from somewhere between 10 and 40 people. And I've talked about those numbers, why 10 and 40 in a prior video, so I'm not going to go into it here. But for the sake of this video, let's just say you already have 10 people who are champing at the bit to use a simpler, perhaps less expensive CRM. Your next step would be to figure out which subset of features to build, and then, of course, to start coding. But the metric here would be, how many of your 10 early access folks actually try it when given access, and how many stick around and use it for even a few months? I think even a 50% success rate of people who stick around for 6 months is pretty reasonable at this stage. Your success rate is going to be low. But of course, it does depend on the space and your app and your price point. And you know, there's a lot of things you can get right, a lot of things you can get wrong at this point. So that's where it can be hard to put hard and fast numbers on these things, but you want to look for stuff that is directionally correct. And then for Postcard, which is the ESP for realtors, I'd be looking to have one-on-one conversations, whether via email or phone or Zoom or whatever, with say 100 realtors to pick a nice round number, and to get at least 10% of those to be super interested in trying out the product. Step two is to outline your core features. It's to determine the essential features needed for your MVP, and then to prioritize these features based on your vision of the product, how important you think they are, and your user or early access feedback. So for Bump CRM, this is probably the hardest step of all. Really digging in with your 10 early access customers to figure out your feature set is exactly what I'd be doing here. So I'd spend a ton of time. And honestly, if you can't find a subset of functionality that most of your users need, you either need to bail on the idea altogether or find more early access customers, because you're trying to find a commonality. If across all 10 users, the Venn diagram is you need 100% of the feature set of Salesforce, then Bump CRM doesn't work because you can't build 100% of the features of Salesforce. It's just too big. So in this case, you're looking for that subset of early access folks who need the same shared subset of features, which, look, it's not going to be black and white. It's going to be cloudy. It's going to be muddy. I get it. There's a lot of signals, but you just have to do your best. Being a founder is making hard decisions with incomplete information and going out and finding as many early access customers as you can that only need that small subset, whether it's a third or 20% or 40%, you get the idea. That's the key at this stage. And for Postcard, I'm sure you're thinking, well, here we go. I get to figure out the subset of features that I need to build to become an ESP. And that's wrong. I would not write a line of code here. I would not build an ESP. I would figure out exactly what I want to offer to realtors, whether it's custom pre-built email sequences, some kind of done-for-you service, a widget that installs on their website and is pre-configured to collect leads. Whatever you decide the package is for this product, I'd be looking to then build that out with zero code on top of an existing platform, probably MailChimp, if you want to know the truth. And when I say zero code, I don't mean no code. I mean, you literally just build it in their platform. You almost act as a consultant and you build out the things you promised on an existing ESP. A minimum viable product is not just a simpler version or a version with less features of another product. MVPs are about solving a problem and looking at hypotheses. So in this step, you're looking to avoid feature bloat and focus on delivering a clear solution. And as I mentioned in our How to Create an MVP video, which you should watch next if you haven't already, you probably don't need to design and build polished account deletion, billing, all kinds of things you can leave out of your MVP, and we'll link to that video course in the description. Step three, I've already kind of jumped to this, but it's to choose the right MVP approach. I recommend using one of three MVP approaches. The first is human automation. This is where you write no code and you have humans doing the work behind the scenes. In the case of Postcard, that's pretty much what I'm talking about. You're doing the automation, or you're hiring a virtual assistant or a consultant to do the work. You're not trying to make money at this point. You're just trying to prove or disprove the hypothesis. Then there's the no-code approach. And this is where you take Bubble or Airtable or Softr or some other no-code tool and you slap it together with baling wire and chewing gum. And you kind of build a Franken product potentially. It doesn't have to be amazing or scalable, but again, you're trying to prove or disprove a hypothesis. And finally, full code. This is where you get in as a developer, or if you have to, hire a developer and you build out that minimum viable product. In this step, you have to decide which approach aligns best with the problem you're trying to solve and how you can best prove or disprove that hypothesis. So you probably want to match it up with your own technical skills. So if you're not a developer, you probably want to pick a problem in the first place that can be solved with human automation or no code. Lean into your strengths or your assets. If you really need a full code MVP and you're not a developer, it's a very risky and very expensive proposition. Step four is one that most people skip, but it's to create a development timeline. And I don't mean it has to be software development. I mean just the schedule for building out the MVP. Most people don't do this, and I think it's critical. You want a realistic timeline for building this, and you want to stick to it as close as possible. Even if you're not fully correct, you know if you're on course or if you're way off. With no estimate, you'll just spend the next 6 months tooling around because that's what we do as makers. Personally, I like to set a deadline for each phase and milestone, and I track my progress in a Google or an Excel sheet. So that keeps you accountable and it lets you know when you might be dragging your feet. When I used to work nights and weekends on my products, I had a running task list. And one thing I did separate from the building was the planning. So I sat down and said, what is everything that needs to be built in order to get this product ship ready and to get it shipped? And I would make a huge list of that, just a project plan. Again, I would use an Excel spreadsheet or a Google sheet. But what that did was it separated the planning from the building, because then when I sat down to build, I didn't have to think, oh, what comes next? There was just a list that I knew to dive into, and I always knew whether I was on schedule or behind schedule. And once you have all that, you get to work. In a minute, I'm going to tell you how I'd release my MVP into the world. But first, I want you to know that applications for MicroConf Masterminds are closing soon. I've talked a lot on this channel about how important masterminds have been to my entrepreneurial success. But finding the right founders to join up with can be really hard. So over the past few years, my team at MicroConf has successfully hand-matched over 1,000 founders into mastermind groups by looking at your revenue, your team size, your strengths, your goals, and several other data points to make sure your peer group is the right fit. Collectively, all the mastermind folks we've matched have more than $150 million in ARR. So once you're matched, you'll also have access to our mentorship series, a 3-month program where you can connect with some great minds in sales, business development, marketing, and more. If you're looking for accountability, honest feedback about your business, and the opportunity to make new friends that care about your success, you should head to microconfmasterminds.com and apply by June 12th. That's microconfmasterminds.com. All right, let's get back to launching your MVP. So step five is to launch. And when I launched my last SaaS app, and this is how I would do it today, is I used a phased launch. So this is down the line when you have a launch list. It's not your 10 early access people, but let's say you have 500 or 5,000 people on an email list. What I did, because I think I had about 3,400, if I recall, first I would show it to the people in early access. You get in conversations with them, you get feedback, you iterate, you're improving the product, you're building features, and of course, you're squashing what few bugs that you have. And I call this early access. I charge for it. It is not a beta. I don't do annual or lifetime comps at this point. I want people who are really interested in paying for the product. And what I used to tell them is, you can use it for free for now until you start getting value. And then I'm going to start charging you X dollars a month. In my case, it was $49 a month. So you start charging people as soon as they are willing to pay. So this phased launch took 5 months. And we rolled Drip out. It was my email service provider I built. 5 months to roll out to 3,400 people, a few hundred at a time every 2 weeks. I remember I started with 100 to 200 just to try to get a feel for, can we build fast enough to keep up with these people? And then I started launching to 500 or 600 people every 2 weeks towards the end. We were building frantically between the groups of folks we were letting in. And realistically, it led us to find product market fit over the next several months.